that's getting more press as a benevolent billionaire out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, most people are pretty well aware that Bezos looks like a supervillain out of a Bond film. Zuckerberg, like, looks like a robot. But Musk is supposed to be, like, the free speech, cool guy. He's got mm-hmm. a cool car. He's got flamethrowers.
Right.
Like, he's the dude, right?
Right. Well, Bezos stays back, it seems like. He doesn't try to work the media like Musk or, say, former President Trump. You know, they're very good at manipulating and getting their message out or whatever they're trying to do without really doing anything other than working the press.
I'd say he does stay out of the media quite a bit, but he parallels Musk in a lot of ways, especially with the Blue Origin program mm-hmm. and
BO,
SpaceX
yeah.
and all that other stuff. But when you look at Musk, I mean, people have to realize he's the country's number one military industrial complex contractor. Okay, that's what he does. That's how he makes his real money.
Right, SpaceX.
SpaceX isn't taking us to the moon or Mars. That's the front. That's nothing. That's not real. What they're really doing, and anybody can look this up if you want to look it up, it can move military cargo anywhere in the world in 1 hour. Now, what does it do on the regular? So, yes, SpaceX is there to move military cargo wherever we want it. Number two, it's there to put up the Starlink system. Where is Starlink right now? It's in Ukraine. That's its heaviest concentration. Why? Because not only is it for communication systems there, it hooks into the Ghost and Sidewinder drones. All that talk of Musk not turning on the Starlink or shutting off the Star, that's all bull snap. If you think that the Pentagon is going to let their communication system be turned on and off by a private citizen, you're absolutely insane. Now, Starlink is the unclassified program. The classified program that is in the ride-along program with SpaceX and gets launched with it is DARPA's Blackjack satellites. Now, many people may be aware that in the 1980s, 1983 specifically, Reagan launched the Strategic Defense Initiative Program, which is the Star Wars program or the weaponization of space. Many people are under the false assumption that somehow that failed. It did not fail. It continued on, and we are in about fifth-generation space warfare, which includes Starlink, which they openly talk about being the secondary skin around the entire planet, and then Blackjack. So that's just one aspect of Musk. Musk actually made more money than any other billionaire during the COVID 1984 nightmare. So let me put that in perspective.
Thank you for calling it 1984. We bring that up a lot around here. Lies are truth. Yeah, truth are lies.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how there's any better way to describe that. And honestly, I can't really take credit for it. That's my friend James Corbett when we were discussing it really early on in 2020. But he increased his wealth 600%. In that 2.5-year period. How did he do that? Well, he beat Brin, Buffett, Gates, that we all know about, by taking Tesla, which is not a car company, everybody. Just so everybody knows, I know it sounds cool and you got your hip battery. Think about all the EV companies that were crushed before Tesla came around. Tesla was subsidized by the government. And two of the other fun things that Tesla does is they're a part of automation. So they're actually building the Optimus robot, which is the humanoid robot.
Right. I knew that.
That is going to run on the Android software, and they're taking basically the operating system from the driverless cars and trying to implement that there. But more interestingly, Tesla partnered with CureVac, okay? They printed up the vast majority of the hate and lies shots they forced upon people. So while he's telling you now you can question it and there might be adverse effects, he literally printed them up. Anybody can look it up. CureVac and Tesla built micro nano manufacturing places where they literally biologically, molecularly printed up the mRNA and vector-based shots. So he made a ton of money that way.
The vaccine printer.
Yes. A lot of people don't understand. Like, when I tell people that they printed the shots, they go, what are you talking about? I go, well, it's 2023, and we have this thing called biological molecular printing. And these things are just sequenced in a computer, and then they're literally printed up. So he's a huge part of that. Without Musk, that doesn't happen. So Tesla's involved in that. Then you look at the Boring Company. I know, flamethrowers are cool, bro. He went on Joe Rogan. They're digging up the underground facilities for our military industrial complex. Literally the black sites. He's the guy contracted to do all of that.
So, like, so everybody understands, if you've seen Spies Like Us, and you get a Pepsi, remember that? And then they go and like shoot down on the ground 4 million feet
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he's talking about, right?
I mean, yeah, that's absolutely real. I mean, I always tell people to get some historical context, right? I recommend Annie Jacobson's work probably over any other because it is very dense, it's well-sourced, and it started with Area 51. And Area 51 isn't about little gray men or aliens, everybody. This is the first black facility that goes to a place that's called Bourne Classified. So post-World War II, post-Manhattan Project, which is the beginning of really compartmentalization, they decide, hey, we like this model, and we've got to learn more about nuclear weapons, among other things. So they decide to build a facility out in the desert, out in Nevada, and this is where they had a lot of the nuclear programs, but that's where they literally started their underground bases and programs that were Bourne classified, so that even like the U-2 spy plane, for instance, is something, an Oxcart program, that Lyndon Baines Johnson had no idea about until after the fact had already been developed. So he's literally building those modern-day facilities underground for the military-industrial
complex. He being Elon.
Yes, Elon, yeah. Yes. I mean, there's not a place that Musk goes. Neuralink, for instance. We're talking brain chips for human beings.
Yeah.
It's been approved by the FDA right now. 50-year-old technology, folks. We go back to DARPA. That is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Now, DARPA are the ones that are putting up the Blackjack satellites, but they also have what are now being referred to as BCIs, brain-computer interfaces. And as I said, this is decade upon decade old technology. And now Musk and others are being able to commercialize it. Now, you hear about Musk because Musk's the cool guy that wants Taylor Swift in your brain while you're bobbing along wherever.
Yeah.
BlackRock has their own BCI initiative, and they're partnered with NASA on it. And how do I know this? Well, just a couple weeks ago, sitting there getting ready for my many shows that I was telling you about.
Yes.
And I literally am 12 minutes to air. I've got a bunch of clips and all that. I say, I need one more. And I start typing in, and I see BlackRock has its own BCI page. And I'm scrolling through, and it's gorgeous. And they're going to help paraplegics and people with brain injuries.
BCI stands for?
Brain-computer interface.
Okay.
So BlackRock, I mean, literally, I had just talked to a gentleman named John Fleetwood who's writing a book on how much they actually own. And it is frightening. I mean, they own majority shares and everything.
Yeah.
And now,
They pop up everywhere. You see, it's crazy how much just diverse hands in the pie. They, you know, they have a hand in, or a finger in every pie. Gary, part of your brain's oozing out the right ear. Jason Berm's talking here. Gary's brain is melting and oozing out a little bit here. But
meanwhile, remember the leader of BlackRock's name is Fink.
Something in a name.
Something in a name.
Good guy. I prefer my last name's Fink. Anyway, yeah. So you have this brain-computer interface technology that's hard-lined in. I mean, we're literally talking about brain surgery here, and Musk has the idea of a robot kiosk. You're going to go to the mall, like when you get your ears pierced, you're going to sit there for 6 hours. It's going to allow it to do brain surgery on you. It's easy. Glue your skull right back on top. Great. Here, I think I'm kidding.
There's videos of this demonstration.
Yeah. Gary's on this. I mean, we are on our own network here with GNN. The Gary News Network.
Yeah. And just real quick, last November 2022, the Reader published a cover story that Jason wrote. We talked about on the air that year, last mm-hmm. year. All hail Elon, the new Twitter lord and champion of free speech. 5 reasons Elon Musk is a Trojan horse not to be trusted. I'm throwing that out there because you can find that at our website, rcreader.com, and everything he's talking about is sourced with links. Please, carry on. Yeah.
Very well sourced.
Well, I try because I'm not sitting here talking about Johnny nonsense. Brain-computer interfaces don't necessarily have to be invasive. So you can go, I don't know, 6 years back, and even on 60 Minutes, there were wearables that would hook you up into the internet, and through your thought patterns, you could search the internet and get the answers right on screen, okay? So a lot of this technology doesn't have to be hardlined into us. So ask yourself, why do they so badly want to hardline this technology into us? And I would argue it's because, I mean, they want total command and control of your thoughts and actions. And if I were to ask you, how many brain chips are out there? And I don't have an exact number, but I can give you an estimate based on the head of NASA, the chief scientist at NASA. Now, this guy's name is Dennis Bushnell. He's been around since the Gemini days pre-Apollo. I've done a lot of work on him and his lectures and his white papers because he has an interesting document called Future Strategic Warfare 2025.
Gary would love this paper.
And it's basically a PowerPoint presentation, but it's from July of 2001. And if you read this thing, it lays out the blueprint for what has happened the last 20 plus years. So Mr. Bushnell in 2011 at a Blue Tech Forum keynote speech, starts talking about human brain interfaces, amongst other things, glorious things like population control and climate change and automation and Malthus 101. But he says then, in 2011, they've already put 10,000 brain chips in people. That's 2011. We're in 2023. At a separate keynote speech, 7 years later, 2018, at the, I think it's the FIRE convention, but people can look it up themselves. How many would you guess from 2011 to 2018?
And this is 10, Bushnell 000. Still?
Yes, Bushnell. How many did he say?
You went from 10,000. I'm going to say you jump up to a million?
Not quite. 200,000.
Okay.
So 200,000 people 5 to 6 years ago had human brain interfaces in their skulls that you're not hearing about, whether that's DARPA, privatized programs for the paraplegics or other brain injuries. We don't really know because a lot of it is classified programs, but we know that at least that many are out there. And now we have the FDA approving what? Commercialized brain chips. When are we going to find out how many people are using those?
Who wants this, though? You know, who the hell wants a brain chip?
You guys don't want to help paraplegics? You don't want to help people that need help?
No, I'm
you guys,
saying if
you guys aren't benevolent. It's a cloak of benevolence we have to be focused on
here. Help those folks. But for regular people, who want, you know, like...
Your kids, unfortunately. I mean, if you see how this has been marketed, and I continually tell people, maybe the metaverse isn't for you. Well, that's also a World Economic Forum partnership. You can go to their website, and they want to build a real governance and society outside in the virtual verse. Now, there's only so much they can do with their little metaverse with a headset, right? But if that headset's in your brain, man, they can do a lot more with it, and it's going to feel a lot more real.
Did they get permission from Clint Eastwood? You remember Firefox and the Russian jet?
Nope, I don't know that one.
It was brain controlled.
Okay, so you're talking about brain-controlled drones.
Yeah.
Those are real. And not only are those real, those are operational right now. Yeah. And they're not just one drone. Actually, they're called swarms.
Mm-hmm. And they sound like giant mosquitoes.
They're very big, actually. Yeah. So they look like insects in ways, these little drone swarms. But they're literally controlled by somebody that has a device over their head that maps out certain neurons in the brain. And they're controlled by their brain. In fact... I often go to this document, but RAND Corporation, which is a huge private military contractor, has a document called BCI 2040, and it's basically on military warfare. They talk about the drone swarms, but then they also talk about non-invasive BCIs in the sense that they can literally be aerosolized with nanotechnology and that they can be used through magnetic resonance waves to control human beings. And in it, it actually talks about soldiers and the shoot-to-miss conundrum. Are you aware of this?
No.
So we're human, right? Sometimes you have a problem on the battlefield when you're looking at another human being to shoot him in the face. Like, it's tough. So yeah. So unknowingly, subconsciously, some people will get out there and they'll shoot to miss. They don't even know it. So when that's occurring, they want to be able to correct that and do so remotely. They also talk about, I mean, literally remote control a human being through this technology that isn't even a brain chip, okay? Again, RAND Corporation, not Jason Burmes. But they also talk about the fact that they could monitor someone's brain and if they are not with the mission or possibly a double agent or whatever, they can weed them out. So that's a form of mind control right there within the military. And that's with human beings, which... unfortunately, the military is going to have less and less of over the next couple decades.
And you can see that.
That's a RAND Corporation white paper you're talking about there. And let's remember that RAND was also the ones that predicted many of the things that were depicted in the Star Trek episodes.
Oh, wow.
That sounded like far-fetched then, like flip phones and sliding doors and phasers. And, I mean, these guys have had a track record of predicting things that come true.
I mean, you can even get into the holodeck stuff. You know, 5 cents virtual reality is real, has been for a very long time. And a lot of people think that, well, you're going to have the bodysuit, right? Because they talk about the haptics. Actually, again, the World Economic Forum, and you can check this out. They already have devices that put out magnetic resonance waves. Now, they're smaller than the ones that aren't militarized. You can buy these commercially. But instead of having a controller or haptic feedback gloves or even using the... cameras that are now on the front of the VR devices, the haptics make you feel. So it actually, when you put your hands over these things and you move them, not only are they moving there, but they're pressing back. And if a butterfly, say, goes on your finger, you feel that butterfly go on your finger.
So it's a matrix.
It is.
And they're openly talking about this in that document that I was talking about all the way back in 2001. And now we're starting to see that technology very much commercialized.
Well, they've been talking about holographic control of the aircraft for the pilot. Hold your hand out. It builds whatever it needs to build on your hand. And then you can point at it, do whatever.
Wow. I don't let my brain cool off. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come right back. We'll do a quick look at weather, a short 8 o'clock rock block, kick it off with some AC/DC, and we'll come back with some more Jason Burmis and Todd McGreevy. Stay right here. Burmis in studio. Now, just so you can pub yourself a little bit, let the folks know what shows you got out there and stuff like that, because if they listened to the first 15 minutes of us talking here earlier in the hour, they're probably like, who's this guy? Super smart, super informed, and on top of stuff. What do you got going on for your own shows right now?
Yeah, I got two shows, so I don't want to take any audience away from Vintage Radio, but I am live Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Time, but you can catch the replay, and that's over at redvoicemedia.com. And then I have an evening show that is 5 p.m. Monday through Friday over at ampnews.us. That's more of a interview-type show. I'm a little looser. Mm-hmm. In my morning show, and I do interviews and whatnot. But I also give away all my documentary films for free, Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. And they are available at my various social media platforms. So it's B-E-R-M-A-S. You type that into a search engine, you should come across my stuff.
And suddenly there's an agent knocking at your door.
No, they know who he is, trust me.
No, yeah. But now they know who you are, and you're looking it up. They're like, hey.
Well, we're excited Jason is here. Us independent media types got to stick together. And I actually registered jasonburmis.net, yeah. And it actually redirects to your Red Voice Media landing page. So that's an easy one for people to remember if you want to quickly get caught up on Jason. Now, he was one of the three people that did make the very famous 9-1-1 film about the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and Building 7 and all that, called Loose Change. And then 5 years later, 6 years later, you made Loose Change, the Final Cut.
So it went in a timeline like this. 2005, we released Loose Change Second Edition. It became super mega viral. We went all around the country. It was on CNN, MSNBC, ended up on the History Network, all that stuff. And we were really trying to get our next iteration of the film into theaters. I mean, we were in touch with Mark Cuban's company at the time. I sat down in Charlie Sheen's mansion, and we...
Dude, did you drink any tiger blood?
It was before the tiger blood. But I will tell you
winning.
That, you know, for all those that...
was there a cocaine bar?
He was sober at the time.
Oh,
so he,
okay.
At the time that I met Charlie Sheen, just so everybody knows, he was just about to have babies with his, I think, second or third ex-wife, Brooke. And he was on the sober train. It was a very, very, like, straightforward experience. I'd met him before in Los Angeles at another conference. That people can actually watch on C-SPAN, one of the few things C-SPAN ever covered on 9/11. It was prior to the 5th anniversary. And I'm the first guy that Alex Jones ever gave a show to over at Infowars.com. So when Charlie had that breakdown, he went on, I believe it was Patrick, the ESPN guy, Dan Patrick's show.
Dan Patrick.
It was the first time of the Tiger Blood. But within 48 hours of that, and I was still in Austin, Texas, and inside the InfoWars studios, and they were just starting to expand. Sheen came on with Lenny Dykstra, of all people. And
is he ever sober? Have you seen any of the things where they film him? I mean, he's just loaded.
Dykstra's an interesting character, but as a former New Yorker and a 1986 Let's Go Mets guy, he's got a special place in my heart.
I understand. Got a big chaw cheek. And I get it.
Hey, Nails really was the real deal back in the 80s.
He was.
So they start chopping it up on the Jones Show, and Lenny Dykstra's saying things like, you know, Alex, I don't usually get on my knees for another man, but Charlie Sheen. And I'm like, what is going on? And then the tiger blood starts breaking out. And, you know, he obviously got involved with a lot of hardcore drugs at that point. But before that, he was one of the proponents of 9/11 truth, and he was being demonized by people like Bill O'Reilly. I got canceled on so many shows. So, for instance, I was actually supposed to go on Glenn Beck's program when he was on CNN before he got the Fox and before the Blaze. on the fifth anniversary of 9/11.
Gary's a big fan of Glenn Beck.
Yeah, Glenn's gotten better. I'll say that. Like,
he
I used to have
on Dallas radio.
Well, I used to have a lot more animosity towards Glenn. I think he's done good work with Blaze Media, and Alex Stein and I are buddies. And you know, I just had Alex on maybe 2-3 weeks ago. We had that conversation about Glenn Beck. In fact, people don't know who Alex Stein is. He's the gentleman that keeps going to these city council meetings, whether it be in a male mankini or whatever, just pointing out some
punking people all the time.
The most absurd things ever.
Fun stuff.
However, I went on Amy Goodman's program, which was a left-leaning program, Democracy Now!, and I was up against the Popular Mechanics guys because they had written an article and then a book debunking 9/11 truth. So before fact-checkers, there were debunkers. And James Meggs, who you'll see all the time on the History Channel or American Heroes Channel now, and David Dunbar, the authors, were up against myself and Dylan Avery. Sat there for an hour. Anybody can go watch it. Some people think that I got beat. I think I eviscerated them. And I think it's pretty obvious I eviscerated them, as everywhere where I was supposed to go against them on mainline television, including Glenn Beck that day, immediately canceled me after.
Ah. We don't need this kind of trouble. I know we don't have much more time with you guys. Jason Burmes is in high demand. One of my most mysterious people that I have so many questions about is Henry Kissinger. And you've got some, we started to talk a little bit off the air about that, because, you know, Kissinger, former Secretary of State, he's 100 years old, somehow is in great shape still, and makes a phone call and gets in to see Xi Jinping in person. Our own Secretary of State can't even do that, but he can. So what's with this guy? Is he really running everything?
I mean, Kissinger's been around for a long time, and he's kind of a disciple or acolyte of David Rockefeller. And for those that don't know, you know, David Rockefeller and his family very, very heavily involved in just about every geopolitical arena you can imagine. And David Rockefeller, he was a Navy intelligence, so smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually set up a Dewey Decimal type system for everybody that he met. And you can look at it. It's like a card system. So when we were kids and there weren't computers, you go through the Dewey Decimal system. Yeah. He had that on people. So it was really interesting to me to see David Rockefeller's card on Henry Kissinger, because he comes in and he starts running the Rockefeller Foundation. He's pushed into the Nixon administration especially, and he doesn't go anywhere, you know, from Bilderberg Group to just about every other high-level organization about globalism. Kissinger's involved. So in that, it actually talks about how David was so impressed with him, meeting him at the Bilderberg meetings when it first started in the 1950s. And from there, really, Kissinger starts one of the first really private intelligence firms with the Kissinger Group and Kissinger Associates. I was discussing with you how the parents of Barack Obama actually met through the Kissinger Institute. And anybody that knows about women and intelligence and actual honeypots, especially in that era, is that, you know, they were usually sexualized. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you can find nude photos of Barack Obama's white mother online. I mean, it's pretty obvious what she was doing for the Kissinger Institute. And it seems like who they say is his father, I'm very skeptical about that, was also doing the same thing. And I know that that sounds wild, but anybody can look into it, you know?
Hey, man, it was the 60s and 70s, right? I mean, you know, things were a little different back then.
Yeah.
Well, Kissinger, you know, you talk about how old he is. Right?
Yeah, he's 100 years old. He's got to be on something. His wife's also that old and still just fine. Wow.
And he also attended Bilderberg this year. And for those that don't know what Bilderberg is, it is probably the highest level globalist meeting out there. Been around since 1954. You got 20 to 25 core members, including Kissinger, that are on the steering committee, that are there every year. And then they bring in people from Goldman Sachs, the military-industrial complex, people like Sam Altman of ChatGPT. They got their first invite at the Bilderberg Conference this year. People like Peter Thiel, they're on the steering committee on the other end of that because he's right-wing or whatever. You have the left-wing Eric Schmidt, who used to head up Google. Very important meetings.
And select people from the so-called news organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Get invited.
I mean, some of those are steering committee members.
Yeah.
Like the media that's there. For instance, Doffner, Adolf Doffner, goes there a lot, and he's the head of the Axel Springer Group, which is probably one of the largest media groups in all of Europe. So they were very AI-centric at this last Bilderberg meeting. They come out. In fact, that's why Altman was there. And within a week, Axel Springer is talking about using AI within their media organizations to write stories and automate people out. So Kissinger's still very much at the top of the pyramids. I think he's still seeked out for his geopolitical connections. You know, even the Trump trainers, remember, Donnie T couldn't wait to have a sit down with Henry Kissinger. Kissinger, listen, he made it. He's the quintessential social climber in D.C. That is politically important. The only person that I would really put on his level in that era is no longer around, not a surprise, since Kissinger's 100. And he would be Zbigniew Brzezinski. And yet another one of these advisors that's very, very heavily into the geopolitical arena, or as he referred to in his own book, the Grand Chessboard.
Whose daughter co-hosts Morning Joe.
Yes, Mika is his daughter, for everybody that doesn't know. And not only is Mika his daughter, but Joe Scarborough was a congressman where they found his aide dead in his office. And that's why he had to leave politics.
And there's that famous quote of Mika saying, we're the ones who get to tell you what to think.
Yeah. I mean, you can watch Don Imus ask Scarborough about the dead intern and him get very, very uncomfortable. And basically, after they cleared that up, he was streamlined right into mainline television, left his wife and had an affair with Mika and got married to Mika.
And you guys here at Vintage, just jumping around here, you guys have embraced AI with the is it Pirate Pete?
Oh, Pirate Peter.
And your trivia questions. Oh. Now driven by AI, I understand.
Oh, no, that's Chuck with the Ducks top 11 list.
Ah, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Top 11.
He drives it with AI. Yeah, where I'm still anti.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so much into coming around on that one just yet.
Chuck's just kind of taking a shortcut there.
Well, he's from California. I've been waiting for it to fall into the ocean since I was a kid when they said that's what was going to happen or it was going to break off and become an island. Yeah. Waiting. Anytime now. Come on.
Yeah.
But they really did tell me that in the 80s as a kid. You know, they talked about that in, like, geography class. Well, California's on the San Andreas Fault, and someday it's going to fall into the ocean or it's going to separate from the mainland. Maybe it will.
And
waiting.
Since time is short, but I was looking back at some of the articles Jason's written for us in The Reader, and in last September, he wrote a piece called Top 5 Domestic Tyranny Steps Enacted by the U.S. Government After September 11, 2001. And the fifth one, which is one that most people don't hear about very often, which I only have heard from Jason, and that is the Signature Reduction Program. And, we wrote about that. Step 5, make security an art form, with the very loose title of Signature Reduction, in a bombshell article titled Inside the Military Secret Undercover Army, published by Newsweek in May of 2021. You ever heard of this, Gary? It's some 60,000 people now belong to the secret army, many working under masked identities and a low profile, all part of a broad program called Signature Reduction. The force, more than 10 times the size of the clandestine elements of the CIA, carries out domestic and foreign assignments, both in military and uniforms and under civilian cover, in real life and online, sometimes hiding in private businesses and consultancies, some of them household name companies. That's in Newsweek, totally mainstream. They project what they're doing, and Jason's the first person I ever heard even bring this up. And who were you interviewing that walked off when you brought up Signature
Cash
Reduction?
Cash Patel walked
that's
off
right.
when I brought it
Talk
up.
Talk about that quickly. Interesting.
You know, for
you guys
know
who Cash Patel is?
Yeah.
So those that don't really understand what he just said, we got a secret military running for 13 years in this country with zero accountability, 10 times the size of the CIA running domestic ops, online and offline. So they're the bot army. There is no Russian bot army. That's imagination land. They've come out and told you. You go read that article, okay? Number one, it's going to take you about if you speed read through it. Number two, when we're talking about in physical form, they have access in real time. Social Security office, DMV. They create identities. So the author, along with the 800 FOIA documents he has, is riding along with a signature reduction person, one of the 60,000. Doesn't know his name, doesn't know where he's from. They're in a car with fake plates, with fake info, and they show you, when they talk about masked identities, they're talking about real masks at times. They show you the program where they're not only masking these people physically, but the most interesting part is that they show you a hand. Looks a lot like a hand. It is actually a DARPA-created silicon skin glove that tightly wraps around your hand. Has anybody's biometric information they want to print on top of it, and emits human oils. So in other words, they've got your DNA from a 23andMe or otherwise. It would be extremely easy to replicate in, say, one of those biomolecular printers we talked about earlier.
Just went over to Musk's shop and print them up.
And set somebody up for real. So it's a called exclusive Inside America's Secret Military Newsweek. It's been out for a little over 2 years. I have discussed behind the scenes with William Arkin, the author, and I'm still trying to get him on. But he jumped ship just as the Ukraine-Russia conflict started to kick off. He was willing to do the show, and then he's like, well, I'm about to go overseas. Catch up with me when I get back, and I haven't caught up with him yet. We'll try to get him on.
That's crazy stuff. So you can make anybody, put him anywhere.
I'm not making it up. Again, like he read that verbatim. I don't work at Newsweek. I don't necessarily take everything they say for gospel either. But at the same time, this is a very well-written article. And I'd say this. I'm a huge source document guy.
Right.
Give me the documents.
As Tom McGreevy from River City.
We try. Yeah. Absolutely.
Give me the documents. I want all the documents. And by the way, when I say it's called signature reduction, that's not the official name for it, because there is no official name for it. In fact, when they refer to it as signature reduction, our military-industrial complex refers to it as a quote-unquote art form.
Hmm. Hey, you got to be innovative. You got to be creative in all facets of life, guys.
I just got a picture of a new old newspaper article from Kevin. Thanks for sending this to me, buddy. So this is a Kissinger quote from a speech to the WHO, World Health Organization Council on Eugenics, February 25th, 2009. Once the herd accepts mandatory vaccinations, it's game over. They will accept anything, forcible blood or organ donation, for the greater good. We can genetically modify children and sterilize them for the greater good. Control sheep minds and you control the herd. Vaccine makers stand to make billions. And many of you in this room are investors. It's a big win-win. We thin out the herd, and the herd pays us for extermination services. That's Henry Kissinger, 2009.
I don't know if that one's real. I'm just letting you know. I looked at that, and who knows who printed it. I've seen some pretty egregious comments from Kissinger, including...
He just kind of throws it out there.
If that's real. But I can tell you one that's 100% real, is that he has referred to our men and women in military service as big, dumb animals. They're basically fodder, cattle, chattels. But he's... Dumb animals is how he is referred to the base of our military.
That syncs up with that one, but that's fascinating. You know,
But
remember, they care for you. I call it the cloak of benevolence. That's what gets we're gaslighting into believing that they care for us. They mean the leadership and the powers that be. And it's always rules for thee and rules for me is the model, as we've talked before many times. And we're just so lucky to have Jason here locally, and he's doing stuff internationally. And I encourage everybody to check out his two shows at Red Voice Media and at AMP News. Making Sense of the Madness is the name of his other show. And to shortcut that, go to jasonburmis.net, and I'll get you there quickly.
We'd get a picture with you and put it on Facebook, but I'm afraid they'll shut us down. So we're just gonna act like you were never here. No, thank you guys so much for coming out. And this happens sometimes on the show where we just kind of go like Chris Farley and that biscuit and Tommy Boy, and just we just roll with what we got. Just awesome having you.
Next time
really
we're on, let's do the on the air live the debate about Big Lebowski versus Kingpin the movie. I think that would be a good discussion.
I agree. That is a good discussion. Yes. Thank you guys so much for coming in. We're going to be right back with 9 o'clock news, weather, sports. Gary's going to have his history. We'll kick back into normal show. Stay right here.